Good morning. It's really awesome to hear stories like that of what God's doing in our family. It's been something that I don't know if you've been with us for a few weeks, but just seeing those stories every week, man, it's amazing just to see what God is doing. And so, hey, my name is Paul. I'm really glad that you can be here with us this morning. And as Chris said earlier, definitely hope that you can feel right at home. Grab more food and coffee and all that stuff in the back. I won't be offended if you get up and get more. This is going to be the final week of this series that we've been walking through for several weeks called Life Coach. And it's based on this idea that God desires to step into our life like a loving dad and coach us through specific situations. And this has all been based on this passage in 2 Timothy where it says this: all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And so when we look at how God explains life in the scriptures, he often shows us general principles, and we take those general principles and we apply them to all these different situations. But thankfully, there are times when he gets a little bit more specific, and that's what we've been walking through for the past several weeks. And I don't know if you've realized that, but he tends to be more specific in situations where in situations that are surrounded with more dangerous pitfalls, or in situations where we just completely miss it, and he doesn't want to miss out on it, so he explains it to us. And so he's been stepping to us from the beginning of this series where he said, listen, your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. Be more of a listener as you walk through life. The next week, he said, see what life is like if you lived more thankful, more cognizant of what you have and what God's doing. Then another week, he talked about this idea, this desire that we have inside of us to want more and more and more. And he said, you know what? You know how you fight that desire? Be generous. Let go of the money and give it to others. And then last time we were walking through this series a couple weeks ago, he said, we have this desire, all of us have this desire to point to direct attention to our accomplishments. You know, we want to impress people. But he said, you know, don't live like that. Instead, live to honor others, right? He's coming to us like a loving dad, and he's saying, listen, I understand how this works. I understand what's inside of you. I understand I created you. Let me tell you, let me show you, let me specifically guide you how to walk through these situations. And today we'll be closing out on a topic it's pretty important. We're closing out the series on this topic of prayer, right? We're gonna talk about what it means to have a conversation with God. And I'm curious, what came to your mind when I said prayer? Because it's truth is, prayer looks like a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And maybe, I mean, think about it for yourself. Where do you see prayer nowadays? Like, where have you seen it recently? And maybe you're thinking of, at sporting events, you know, you see the sports teams, they huddle together and they pray that they win. And then the other team also huddles up and they pray that they win. And apparently God picks a side and one of them wins. Or as fans or wherever we're watching games, and in like a big moment, all of us all of a sudden get very prayerful. Or when we're driving around downtown Jersey City or Hoboken and we're looking for a parking spot and we're about to miss an appointment, all of a sudden we're very prayerful, right? I'm curious where you see it for yourself. And oftentimes you also see it in tragedies and in times of sickness, you know? Where do you see prayer in your life? And I'm not sure what your background is, but for me, I grew up in a family tradition that prayed pretty often. You know, my parents, my mom would show me, you know, this is how you pray, this is how you do it. You would pray before you eat, you'd pray before you sleep. Whenever we got in the car, my dad would pick one of us. I had a brother and a sister, and one of us would have to pray. And I didn't really know what to do, but I wanted to not get in trouble with my parents. And so whenever it was my turn to pray, I would kind of say my memorized spiel and just say my rehearsed prayer that I knew for each situation. And I didn't know the words that we were saying. It didn't really mean much to me. But sometimes I would be a little bit more curious and I'd ask my mom, you know, what does this word mean or how does this work? I remember there was this one time I asked my mom, because she told me when you pray, you have to close your eyes, you know. I think I was about 6 or 7 years old, and I asked her, so mom, why do I have to close my eyes? I mean, every time I'm talking to other people, my eyes are open. Why do I have to close my eyes? And you should imagine my mom talking to this little 6-year-old trying to explain this. And she said, well, close your eyes so that you can get rid of all the distractions and you can picture God in your head. So I guess I was pretty literal. I was like, okay, I have to picture God in my head. So I immediately imagined, I thought of my picture Bibles and the movies that I'd seen of Jesus. And I said, okay, I don't get why this works this way, but when I close my eyes, I'm going to picture Jesus. Just a literal framed picture of him. And I didn't get it. It was really confusing. But hey, I didn't want to get in trouble, and this is how prayer works. Some of that confusion continued as I got older. I mean, remember there's this one time I was in college, and my college buddy, he apparently was coming to a railroad crossing, and the guy behind him didn't know that there was a train coming, and so he rear-ended him, right? So he got into an accident, and when that happened, he called his dad, and I happened to be with my friend's dad at the time, so I heard the whole conversation on the phone. And his dad, this man, had a reputation of being further along on his walk with God. He kind of understood a little bit more. He was known to be a man of wisdom. And so it was interesting to me to hear their conversation. And so his dad was getting angry and all types of things. I don't know if my friend had his paperwork all messed up or something, but he was angry. And there was one thing that he said that really kind of stuck with me and kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. He asked his son, so I hear that conversation, he says, Did you pray before you drove? If you had prayed before you drove, you would have not gotten into that accident. That really bothered me. That really confused me. Is that how prayer works? Is that how God is? That if we pray a certain way at certain times, if we do this, then this will happen? I feel like something's wrong with that picture. I feel like it doesn't line up with the God that we see in the Bible, the God that we sing about here when we're together. It seems like that there's just something wrong there. I think it's because we misunderstand God. We come to him like with this mindset that we have to follow this religious formula, and so if we pray this way and that way and use certain words and do this, then God will do what I want or what I expect. And so if I just follow these certain things, then God will do what he's supposed to do, right? Because this is how it works. And so in those times when God says no, we get thrown off at this whole thing and we get disappointed and, you know what, this thing doesn't work. And so we struggle to come to God at all because our picture, our view of him is completely off. And so then we get to a point where me pray, I don't want to pray. But what would I even have to say to him? I think all these struggles come from a misunderstanding of who God is. Because when you look at the scriptures and you look at how God interacted with those closest to him, they weren't interacting with some religious, distant being. They were talking with a person. I mean, yeah, infinite, beautiful, huge, immense, and complex, yet somehow personal and relational and loving. I mean, look, there's a whole book in the middle of your Bible. If you just flip right to the middle of the Bible, it's the book of Psalms. It's a compilation of prayers and personal conversations that people had with God. And we heard it earlier today when Chris was leading us in our time of silence. Every week, we talk a bit about this idea that, you know what, God is not distant and far away. He's not disengaged. He desires for us to know who he is. He desires to have this conversation with us. And so for today, I believe that this is something that God desires to coach us in. He's coming to us and he's saying, like, get rid of all these false notions that you have about me and all these lies that you've believed about me. I'm not a formula. I'm a person and I want you to know me and I want to walk you through life. And so today that's what we're going to be talking about. And we'll actually be rolling through two different scripture passages about that will show us what it means to come to this loving, personal God. And the first one will be in Hebrews, where someone talks about Jesus, and then we'll hear from Jesus himself in the Gospel of Matthew. But first, the book of Hebrews. Let me just tell you a little bit of background of this book before we get into the passage. Hebrews is a letter written to highly religious Jewish Christians, right? And so these believers, these Jewish Christians, they know all about the Old Testament background. They know all about the religious system that was set. And so this author is passionate about Jesus, and he's telling them, listen, let me connect the dots for you to show you just how amazing Jesus is. And his bottom line goal, what he's trying to get them to understand, is that Jesus changed everything. It's not about coming to God with this religious system. It's coming to God as a person. We have an amazing opportunity to come to God personally. All right, so let's look at what he says here. Hebrews 4, chapter 16. So then, since we have a great high priest, we'll talk about that, high priest, who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So in seeing that first verse, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, to fully grasp what's going on here, we have to scroll back and look at what was a high priest, right? Because that's not our background. That's not something that we know about. Remember, this is a letter written to people that knew all about this stuff. So for us, we kind of have to pause and look at what this means. So in the Old Testament tradition, in their religious system, in order to really come to God and worship God, they had to go through someone called the high priest, right? They would have to travel to the temple, and they would bring their stuff to the high priest, and then the high priest kind of represented their way to God. And so this high priest was the cream of the crop. He was the top echelon of spirituality. He was revered. And so when you come to the temple, and you're going to see the high priest, you don't come with boldness, as the passage says. You would probably be pretty scared, probably hesitant to come talk to him and understand how to handle this. Direct access to God wasn't really available. They had to go through this intermediary. And so Jesus being described as a high priest, it reminds me, it's difficult for us sometimes to come to God. And maybe it's difficult because we still are stuck in this mindset where we're afraid of him. Where when we come to his temple, when we come to his presence, just like did in the Old Testament, we're scared. We're not, who am I to come to God? Who am I to come boldly, even as the passage said? Reminds me of this story. Early last year, my boss invited me to his office. It was a little different than that. I had just gotten in. I had my cup of coffee in my bag, and I was getting ready to start my day. And he comes up to me, and he said, "Hey, Paul, put your stuff down and come to the office." Okay, so I put my stuff down, went to the office. Okay, my first thought, I remember, was, shoot, I shouldn't have worn jeans today. I should have dressed up a little bit more, should have been ready for this. Anyway, so I walked over to his office, and so he looks at me and he says, "Okay, sit down, shut the door." This is not going well. It's like, okay, why do I have to shut the door? Apparently, this is a private conversation. There's all this stuff scrolling through my mind. Okay, so I, like a good worker on the team, I sat down. He looked at me deadpan, no emotion on his face, and he says, "So I've been talking to the vice president." Okay, thanks for name dropping. "I've been talking to the vice president, and your performance with us on this team has come up as an issue." And he just kind of left that hanging. And so for that point in my being a part of their team, I had just finished a huge project. I was kind of getting tired of work. I was working long hours. And there was a lot of stuff scrolling through my mind. Like, what was my boss talking to the VP about? Where is this going? And for some reason, I don't know if it was just a bad morning, I landed in a place of just being angry. And I said, "You know what? After this huge project, after the long hours, you're going to fire me? Fine, do it." And I was, you know, I was this close to actually saying something, and then my boss smiled. And apparently everything was fine, and he was impressed, and he was just completely messing with me. And for those of you who are managers, I'm sure that's like hilarious and really fun, but coming from the other side of that, oh my gosh, that was a scary moment. But yeah, when I come to my boss's office, especially with an invitation like that, I'm not coming boldly. I'm hesitant. I got to make sure, you know, maybe I should dress up, or it's kind of how we are with God sometimes. So we hear this invitation, okay, come to God just as you are, but you're like, no, wait, maybe I should fix this part of my life. Maybe I need to clean up this part of who I am first. But look how Jesus changes the situation here. It says in the verse, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings that we do, yet he did not sin. He understands our weaknesses. He understands. He's been through all the testings that we have been through. You know, Jesus, he came and walked among people, and he had parents, and he knew what it was to sit in a humid place. He knew what it was when the sun was burning hot or to be hungry. He was a man. And he knew what it was to have a hard time with difficulties. He was not someone who was distant and cold, but this high priest of ours, Jesus, understands us. The pain that we experience, the heartaches, the struggles. He identifies with all the things that trip us up. And not only that, but he identifies with all the things that raise up barriers between us and God. He knows all those things that are in our life. And he knows that the main barrier between us and God is this thing called sin. And he said he did not sin, but he knows that our destructive choices that lead us away from God is the main problem. And so why did Jesus come? Why did he come to earth? He didn't leave us alone with this hopelessness. He didn't leave us alone to deal with all this destructive choices that we make and we have to carry it on our own back. But instead, he took that off of our shoulders and put it on his shoulder, and he destroyed it on the cross. Not only did he understand, but he understand fully what the problem was. He identifies with how we have weaknesses. And this person who, in the Old Testament, was someone who may have been imposing or scary, Jesus, he gave his life in order for us to have a way to God. We don't have to carry that stuff on our own. We don't have to feel guilty. We don't have to feel scared or ashamed. We're free to come just as we are. So it's not like this picture of coming to your boss's office. We're free to come just as we are. And actually, look at the verse. Let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. We can come boldly. We're invited to come boldly and with confidence to God. Is that how you see yourself coming to God? Maybe it's someone that you've seen as someone as distant, but here we're invited. God desires to have this relationship with us, to come boldly and with confidence. And I think about this. Like I said, my background, I grew up in a family that prayed often. And, you know, when I came to realize some things about myself, I would run away from God. But the thing about it is, he kept pursuing. He kept on chasing me. The same is true for you. The passion that I know about God for my own life is the same passion that he has for you. No matter where you're on this journey with God, if you walked in here and you've been trusting and having a constant conversation with him your whole life, or if this is your first time walking into a church and you've never talked with him in your whole life, he is pursuing you. He desires a relationship with you. He wants you to know him and experience life with him. He wants to hear about your complaints and what's going on in your life. And he wants you to share your heart with him because he understands. It really changes things when we realize we have the opportunity to come openly to God. So now that we know this, now that we know we don't have to be scared or hesitant when we come to God, what does this look like? What does prayer look like? Let's go to the passage in Matthew, where Matthew was one of the closest followers that Jesus had, and he would record a bunch of different things that Jesus did. And in one of those situations, known as the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is surrounded with a crowd of people, and he jumped on that opportunity to teach them about a whole lot of things. And one of those things is on prayer. And so let's look at what he says in Matthew. Jesus says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly or on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that That is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And so he's coming, he's surrounded with a crowd, and Jesus is trying to explain prayer to people. And he's saying, you know what? Use your own words. Don't try to be good at praying. All too often, if you've been with the church for a little while, you realize there's this thing where you can be good at praying and you want to kind of sound good and use these nice words, and it's about getting the approval of the people that are hearing you. And Jesus said here, no, it's not about that. It says, when you pray, don't babble on and on as other people do. They think their prayers are answered because they're repeating words over and over. Don't be like that. Just use your own words. Just come to God honestly, just like you are. Complain, use whatever language you use, because he can handle who you are. He wants to hear from your heart. And the second part here, when you pray, go away by yourself and shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. That sounds like a private conversation. And that's exactly what I believe prayer is really about in its heart. It's about a personal conversation between you and God. You know, we were talking about this in the speaking team and kind of walking through how prayer looks in all the different people's life in that meeting. And Chris High, the lead pastor, he said something that really resonated with me. And he said, you know, when I come to God, this is Chris saying, when I come to God, it's not because I have a list of prayer requests. It's not because I really need anything. I just come to him because I want to talk with him. I want to share what's on my heart and share where I'm at and let him know about that. He compared it to, you know what? When I call my dad, it's not because I necessarily need anything. I just want to call him up and let him know where I'm at and how things are going. The same thing that Jesus is trying to get them and us to understand. When you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who already sees everything, will reward you. He desires to have a conversation with us. I wonder if you've, wherever you are in your life, and I ask myself this too, is what does that look like? What can that be for me to have a private, personal conversation? Not just bringing a list of requests, really just calling him up middle of the day. You know, Jesus moves on. He gives an example here of what prayer might look like. It might sound familiar to you, actually. It says here, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy and may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food that we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one." You may have heard this in a different translation and different iteration of it, but maybe you didn't realize this is actually Jesus giving an example to his followers of what prayer can look like. And again, he's not giving this like some sort of formula that this is, do it like this exactly, but he's saying, let me show you what this is like. And there's a lot in this rich prayer that we can learn from, but we don't have time to break it all down, but there's two things that I do want to highlight. The first one is this: remember with whom you are speaking, and secondly, realize that you are dependent on him for everything. Remember with whom you are speaking. It says, "Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy, may your kingdom come soon, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Remember with whom you are speaking. Remember, it's he is God, and we are not. He is the one that's in control, and honestly, we are not. It's about his plan and his will, about his story, and not about our story. And secondly, realize that you are dependent on him for everything. Look what Jesus asks for in this prayer. Give us today the food that we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Don't lead us to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Food for every day, forgiveness, and help in times of need. This is what Jesus was showing them what prayer is about. We're dependent on God for everything. To come to him with that attitude. You know, as I've been preparing for this message and just kind of thinking about it and having lots of conversations with people that are further along in the journey with God than I am, and there became this theme that I really couldn't run away from. And it's this, there's this tie, there's this connection, a direct connection between trusting in God and in His plan and His will and praying. When we pray, it's not about getting what we want Him to do, but when we're praying to Him, we're just connecting with Him and trusting that He already knows what's best. So again, it's getting away from that view of, I need to pray about this because this is what I want. Praying is not about getting what we want. It's about connecting with God, about walking through life with Him, growing in intimacy with Him, and honestly, it's about experiencing Him all throughout your day, all throughout your week, not just on Sunday when we have this time together, but in your daily routine. So when we have conversations with God, we come with trust and dependence that God absolutely knows what He's doing, that He's God, we're not, He's in control and we're not, and He knows what's best and we don't. And we come with that trust when we go to Him. So He's saying, this whole day He's saying, you know what, listen, let me tell you what it looks like to come to Me. You can come to Me openly, don't be hesitant, don't be scared. Come to Me just as you are, and when you talk with Me, trust Me. Trust that I know what is best. And so what would that look like for you? What would that look like for you to have a life of prayer? Have a life that's more closely tied to God? And by no means am I the model of this, but I do want to share kind of what it would look like for me on a good day. I was thinking about it because honestly, I'm in this weird transition of my life where I just left a job and I'm starting with the church here and my schedule is all getting shifted around. But I really wanted to think, you know what? What was my day? What did my day look like on a good day in terms of connecting with God? And the way that I categorized it was there were scheduled times and then there were just organic, spontaneous times. So the scheduled time for me, it looked like this. I would get up in the morning, you know, and that means for me, my second alarm. So my first alarm is my warning that, hey, the day is here. And then my second alarm is, all right, you should get up and do something with your life. So I would get up, you know, get ready a little bit, and then we have this in our apartment. We have a middle room, and I pretty much claimed one of the windows and put a chair there. And in that spot, I have my Bible, I have a journal, I have a guitar, and I have speakers to plug in my cell phone for music. And I am not one that, I don't follow the same thing every day. It might look different every morning. I might just sit there and write down my thoughts in the journal, my prayer to God, this is what I'm feeling. Or I might talk out loud, or I might just listen to music. It changes. But that's my scheduled time with God. And generally what the conversation looks like is, God, this is how I'm feeling. Generally it's, God, I'm tired and I'm sleepy. I have a full schedule ahead of me. I need You. So it'll tell me where I'm at, and then I'll ask Him, you know what, God, what do You want from me? And then I'll spend some time reading the Bible, and then I'll move on with my day. So that's my scheduled time. But there are times in my life when I have spontaneous time. So on those good days, I would get ready, and I would jump in my car, and I had a one-hour commute to work, which sounds terrible, and it was, but it was also not that bad because I had a good time of quiet that I would sometimes continue this conversation with God. And so I would talk out loud. I can play music as loud as I can. Honestly, I look back at it. Those one-hour drives are really important in my relationship with God. Is there really a time that I could connect with Him? On other days, I would take a lunch break, and I would drive down to where there's a spot where it's quiet, there's a park, and I would just sit in my car and just be there. The other one that came to my mind was, we used to live up here on Manila Ave. I don't know if I'm pointing in the right direction. Manila Ave. But we had a pretty good stoop, and I would sit there out, and it was kind of further away from the sidewalk, and I would sit on the steps, and I would pray. You know, usually after a long, rough day, I just want to connect with Him and let Him know what's going on. And sometimes, actually, little life hack. I would put an earbud in so I don't look too crazy when I'm talking out loud. So you might walk by me and you think I'm actually talking to someone, and I could be, or I'm actually just letting God know what's going on. So I wonder what it would look like for you, scheduling times with You. Maybe you need to set triggers in your life just to remind you of how you can connect with God Justin, the guy that's speaking in Hoboken today, and he's part of the speaking team, he says for him, he would connect with God. His trigger was before he calls somebody, he would pray for them right there. And he was thinking, that'd be kind of crazy to apply before you post on someone's Facebook or before you text somebody to actually just pray for them quickly. And maybe that's something that you can do. But the other side of this, spontaneous prayers, I wonder what that would look like for you. Maybe have work and you're having a rough morning, take a lunch break with him. Just get away from everybody, get away for a minute, and just talk with him. And maybe you're thinking, okay, well, I'd love to do that, but I honestly don't even know what I would say. Well, this part's a little ironic. So there's no formula to God, right? But there are tools that are helpful, and I just want to share one tool that I want to try, and Justin had shared that it's really been helpful for him. So I want to share it with you. It's called Papa Prayer, and it's an acrostic, and each of the letters means something. And so he would actually, when you come to God, and you follow this outline if you feel like it would be helpful. And a lot of it, honestly, is just about being honest, honest with God. The first one is present yourself to God without pretense. Literally just saying, God, this is where I'm at right now. This is how I'm feeling. The next one is attend to how you are thinking of God. Again, honest conversations, God can handle however it is that you're feeling about him, whether good or bad. You just tell him, God, this is what's on my mind. This is how I'm thinking of you right now, whether you're thankful or whether it's complaining. God, this is how I feel about you. Then third, purge yourself of anything blocking your relationship with God. And maybe that looks something like, God, you know what? I've been running around with a full schedule all week, and I haven't slowed down for my kids, I haven't slowed down for my wife, and I haven't slowed down enough for you. Just being honest about what's been a barrier between you and God. And then the last one is approach God as the first thing, meaning everything else is second. And so just expressing that to God, saying, God, there's been a lot of stuff that I've been prioritizing, but I desire for you to be one and everything else to be second. It's just about being honest and coming to him relationally. How would it impact your life if you were more connected with God in prayer? How would it impact our community, our neighborhoods, if we were a people that banded together, we were all together, we were people that were closely connected with God, consistently having conversations with him? It's something that God's been really challenging with me, because you know there's been a lot of craziness going on in this world, and talking to a guy in the other part of Jersey City, and he's kind of been in the more dangerous area, and I was asking him, you know, how are you feeling? And he said, well, summertime, that's how it is in a city. And so we thought about, praying together and more, and just what can happen, and dreaming and trusting God for Jersey City. So let's come to a God who understands us. Let's come to a God who we don't have to be scared of or hesitant of. We can come openly just as we are. And let's see how he moves as we trust him and have conversations with him. Will you pray with me? God, I'm so thankful that you made yourself available to us. There's so many things that distract us. There are so many things that keep us from talking to you, whether it be a wrong view of you, God, or just the busyness of our life. God, despite all of that, all this stuff that's in our life, I thank you that you've already sent Jesus and you've already paved the way. The door is wide open for us to come to you. So God, for me and for those of us in this room, I'm just praying that we would make the most of that opportunity, that we would schedule times with you and trust you and talk with you, and even just throughout our day, just call you up when we need you or when we want to share our life with you. I thank you that you're so passionate for us. You desire to walk through life with us. You desire to hear what's on our heart and so that you can share your heart with us. So God, I pray that we really consider your invitation for us to come to you, that we would be a people that is closely connected with you so that we can impact this city and this world for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.